Okay. You guys can hear me very well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the topic today would be it's called The Help of God. I titled it because when I was when I prayed for a word, it was Isaiah 41. I know Isaiah 41, but I wasn't sure what God would have me say. So I just ran with the word and just read. And as I read, I was led to go back to the previous chapter, and I began to see, okay. Then it became clear what he was saying. And that's how I arrived at that topic, the help of God. So we'll be looking mostly at Isaiah 40, because we'll read that first. Isaiah 41 will be more of praying the scripture. But more of our emphasis will be on Isaiah 40. So let me, without any delay, let me share the scripture. You guys can see my screen, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let me open to Isaiah 40. Okay, so the help of God. I started Isaiah 40 because 41 cannot be fully understood except you begin to read from 40, you begin to see what God was saying from 40, and that led into Isaiah 41. And we can see the title here. It says, God's people are comforted. There are situations where that one can be in, and you realize that it is only the help of God that can suffice in such situations. As one scripture that says that the help of man is useless. There are those situations that it is only help from God. In fact, help from man will only delay, only can only probably make things worse, or even plunge one into more confusion. Or so, what is required is the help that comes from the Lord. And when God began to speak to his people here, I'm sure they were in such situation. And such situation can be as a result of, many things. But if you read, as it says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, if you see this, if you read this, you realize that, okay, from this case, right, what is the cause of their issue? It was iniquity. And, it probably plunged them into some kind of warfare. And here the Lord is bringing comfort. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then begins to go on the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This verse 3, if you remember where this also was mentioned, this was referenced by John the Baptist, right? Some of us remember, yes, when he was proclaiming, you know, the coming of the Messiah before Jesus came into the scene. When they asked him, "Oh, who are you?" And he says, he referenced this scripture. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord." And when I see this, it's like him, you know, John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus, right? And Jesus or Yeshua means the salvation of the Lord, means the salvation of God. And we all know that everything that is in God encompasses God, you know, the mercy of God, the salvation of God is all in Christ Jesus. So it was like the people are in some form of darkness or some form of issue. And we realize that that kind of situation, right? You can see that it was only the help of God that could suffice. Does that make sense? Only the salvation of the Lord could bring light, illumination. I don't know if you see the connection I'm trying to make with John the Baptist and here. So God is trying to comfort his people and telling them, salvation is coming, help is coming. And that's why I believe John the Baptist referenced this. Like I said, ultimately, the help from God, mercy of God, salvation of the Lord, everything, God has put it in who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when you go on, it says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Again, when you really look at it, you realize that the glory of the Lord is Christ Jesus, is in Christ Jesus. Makes sense? And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Does that make sense? So,
yes.
So here, God starts off, you know, trying to comfort the people. And then it's like a proclamation is made that something is coming. A help from the Lord is coming. And it says, every mountain and hill or every valley shall be what? Exalted. Every mountain and hill brought low. Every crooked place shall be made straight. And the rough place is smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Shall be what? Revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, please stay with me. I'm trying to just build up to what I'm trying to say. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? Then he says, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So here, from verse 6 to verse 8, they're trying to tell us the futility of man, of flesh. Remember when I said earlier that there are situations that the help of man is what? Is useless. Isn't it? For example, using again the John the Baptist and Jesus coming to the scene. It's like the people were in darkness. The mankind was in darkness. And that kind of situation, it is only God that can bring salvation. Man cannot help. Man's help in that kind of situation is useless. And like I said, when I was studying this, a lot of us might be in certain situations or have been in certain situations where it is only the help from the Lord that will suffice. Like I said, this from 6 to 8 that we just read is trying to tell us that flesh, even in its best form, here uses grass and flower to, you know, symbolize that in its best form is still worthless. He says, what all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. So even when even in its blossom state, it fades. Because the breath of the Lord blows upon, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord, ultimately, the word of the Lord is Christ Jesus. Does that make sense so far? I'm still building.
Yes, does it?
Yes.
Okay. So, verse 9 says, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord your God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. So from here now, you begin to see, it's like the writer pulling out, again, I don't want to use the word God's CV or resume, you know, but his works, basically, pulling it out. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who has measured the heavens with a span and calculated the dust of the earth? Who has, you know, done all these things? Goes on to say, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed him the way of understanding? So who is able to do these things? Who is able to do these mighty things? Only God. From 15, again, the worthlessness of, you know, the nations of man. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. And he goes on again, talking about the futility of man. He says they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. Verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? To whom will you liken God? So he gives you the state of man, gives you, or the works of man, gives you the works of God, and you can see there's no comparison. And he asks that question, to whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? Verse 19 and 20 talks about, you know, the futility of, okay, if man says, okay, man cannot help, the futility of now looking unto idols, unto other gods. It says, the workman mold an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. And the ones who cannot afford this, it says, whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter, that is, that will not fall apart. Again, idols. Idols. Then he asks He begins to ask this question: have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He, that is, it is God, it is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. And then he reads and goes and goes, and 25, he asks that question again: to whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? So, again, God asking this question, because, you know, sometimes we can be faced with situations and then we forget, or we don't understand who truly God is, that He is able to bring salvation no matter the situation. And sometimes we forget. So sometimes it's good He reminds. So these things are said. He begins to remind, who is able to do this? Who can you liken me? You know, it is He who sits, just to show us the greatness of this God, that He controls all things. And again, against the futility and the uselessness of man's help compared to the help that comes from the Lord. To whom then will you liken me? To whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? And then it goes on. Then 27, I'm trying to move quickly. 27, it says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He neither faints nor is weary. Take note of those two features of God, or those two traits of God. He neither what? Faints nor is weary, and His understanding is unsearchable. So again, sometimes situations can make us forget, or sometimes we might say, sometimes we might not even say it with the words of our mouth, but somewhere in our heart we utter such things and say, God, my problem or my situation has gone unnoticed by God, or God does not care. God does not care about this situation. And He's asking that question: why do you say, O Jacob? He's asking these people, why do you say and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Then He's trying to remember. He says, have you not known? Have you not come to know? Or even if you don't know, have you not heard? In the previous verse, He asked, have you not come to understand? It says, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He neither faints nor is weary. So God does not get tired. Because sometimes in my head, it can be like, maybe God is tired of my own situation. Maybe God is. See, many times it's we that give up on the Lord. But realize that faith requires us to always progress, always move forward, never shrinking, never pulling back, always going forward. Though it might not be easy, but keep going forward, keep going forward. As long as we refuse to relent, refuse to shrink, refuse to withdraw, you know, He will always bring help. So He's trying to give us an information about God, that He neither faints nor is weary, and His understanding is unsearchable. That means nobody can actually Nobody can actually come to the end of God's understanding, that he understands everything. So again, in situations, we might say, God does not understand how I feel or how this thing is, you know, how this thing is affecting me. Remember, scripture says that we have a high priest who is not able, who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He, because he too was human. So he knows how every temptation is, he knows how, he knows what it means to suffer. And suffer even to the greatest degree. He suffered more than anyone else. He was tempted in all things. Bible says he was tempted in all things, but he did not sin. So, in every way possible, in every way, God is able to understand. His understanding is what is unsearchable. There's a scripture that each time I remember it, it says, you have known my soul in adversity. Again, somebody might go through the same situation that you are going through or that you have gone through, even though it's the same situation. The way it affected that person or that person's experience in that situation is always, it will be different. Every experience is different. Even though two people go through the same thing, it's not going to one person's experience in that situation is not going to be the same with the other person. So even though the person is telling me this is how this thing is, you know, this is how this thing is doing me, this is the way it's affecting me, this is the way I feel, I might not, even though I've been in such situation, right, I might not fully understand the in the same way. But God is able to understand in that very same way that each person or about each person's experience. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So he gives us that information. So take note of those two things. He neither faints nor is weary. And then he says he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. We know this part very well. But what I want to pick from here is, so this is where I'll truly begin what I want to say. So I realized that a lot of times the greatest obstacle, let me throw it out there first. What do we think is the number one obstacle to the help of God to our lives?
Ourselves.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yes, it is we. We are the greatest obstacle to the help of God many times. You realize that for help to come from God, right, we have to wait upon the Lord. And wait here, in this context, it means to be still. It means to be quiet. It means to be silent. So before I even go further in that, let me continue. I'll come back to it. It says he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Again, we see the peak, even man in his peak, which is his youth, or man in his greatest strength, or the strongest of men, which is young men. What did he say? They shall faint and they shall be weary. and they shall utterly fall. Again, the futility of trusting in man's strength or in man's help. But it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does it mean to wait? Keyword there, wait. What does it mean to wait? Does anyone want to just... I know I said some words, but yeah. What do, maybe one or two people, what do you understand by to wait?
To wait means to put like what puts your interest or puts your desires or puts the things that you would automatically want to do, you know, at rest and kind of like get the authorization to forge ahead when from something external. So just put your internal drive, you know, be patient with your internal drive and wait for something external to kind of like give you the go ahead. So, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Anyone else wants
question
to thank
is,
you?
What does it mean to wait? Is that the question?
You said, what does it mean to wait? What does wait mean? What does it mean to wait?
Wait.
That's a simple, yeah.
Okay. Well, for me, I'll just say it just means to have faith. It's like long suffering, so to say. Well, basically, to have faith and stay in faith.
Okay. In the simplest form of when you say wait. I'm not saying wait on God now. I'm just saying just the word wait.
Patience.
Okay. Patience. Any other word? There's a word you used, which I'll use very well, which is rest. And I, like I said earlier too, to be still. I realized it means to be still. You get words like rest, to be still, to pause, to stop, to be quiet, to be silent. And it's not necessarily talking about maybe to be silent. When I say to be silent, maybe in our, like our words. Because when I ask the question that what is the number one obstacle to the help of God, we said it's self, ourself. And I would like to use the term our outward man. Our outward man. So, you know, scripture will say, oh, that though our outward man is perishing, but, you know, our inward man is, you know, moving from glory to glory. Do you guys know that scripture? I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's somewhere in, is it 1 Corinthians 4? I think it's also in Romans 8, if I'm not mistaken. Do we know that scripture? Something about our outward man is perishing. It would do our outward man. Yeah. Can somebody help me look for it? Yeah. I think it's...
I'll find it.
Okay. I think it's 1 Corinthians 4 or 6.
2 Corinthians.
Okay, 2
Corinthians 4,
4.
16.
Okay. So let me quickly read. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man. So I want to use that term, outward man. Though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Where? In our inward man. You see, there are two things they said here. The outward man, right? And the inward man. So, I came to this scripture just to bring those terms so that I'll be using it to explain what I want to say. So, what do we think is our outward man? What do we think is the outward man? Someone wanted to say something.
The flesh.
Okay. It can be in kahoot. It can be in league with the flesh. But it's something else. Remember, we said what? The greatest obstacle to the help of God is what?
Ourselves.
Where is yourself? Is it your flesh or is it your soul? What do we think? Don't worry, if you don't get it, we'll not flog anybody.
I'm gonna say soul because that's your mind, your will, and your intellect.
Okay. Are you sticking with that?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with that.
Okay. Okay. Before I say, anyone else agrees or disagrees? Do we all agree?
Yeah, I think, my thoughts is, I think your household man is your body. Like the things, your flesh, your body, what you can see, your mouth, you know, the words you say. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So. Okay. Thank you. I would go with the soul. I will go with the soul. You know why? Like Sheila said, the soul is where your mind is, right? Your mind, your emotions, your will, your desires, your thought process, all of that is where? Is domiciled in the soul. The body, I will call the outermost man, right? But the outward man is the soul. The inward man is your spirit. Is a spirit man, right? So when I said that the number one obstacle to the help of God is self, that's where self resides, the soulish realm. Like I said, that's where your will is. Because many times, right, the help of God will come through the will of God, isn't it? And what to fight against it?
Flesh.
The flesh, our will.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it? And that's what, that's the soul. Sometimes too, when the help of God comes through the purposes of God, or, you know, maybe the word of God or this, what fights it? It can be what? Our desires, right?
Yes.
It can be our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like this thing. Or this, the way this thing makes me feel. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It can be feelings. It can be, it can even be our thought process, our mind, the way we think. Mm-mm. I don't think this thing should be like. Again, these are all what? Obstacles. These are all obstacles. And like I said earlier, for the help of God to come, we have to what? Wait. We have to be what? Be still. And like that be still there is telling the outer man or the outward man to be what? To be quiet, to rest, to be still. Do you remember Isaiah, Psalms 46 verse 8, where it says, let me quickly open it so we see what it says. See, familiar scripture. Psalm 46, verse 8. Can we see it? Can we see it?
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
Okay. From verse 8, it says, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. So again, you see the same format that was followed in Isaiah 41, declaring the works of God, isn't it? Declaring the works of God. And then verse 10, what did he say? He says, be still. And what? Know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Because a lot of times, God wants to bring salvation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the outward man begins to make so much noise, begins to make so much noise, begins to be disturbed. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a lot of noise. Our will begins to shake. Oh God, because again, it might not look like what we want. But one thing, someone said something that, you see, God desires to break the outward man so that the inward man, the spirit, right, can be released. Because that's where true life is. Remember, it is the spirit that what gives life. And the breaking of the outward man is to our greatest advantage. There is no man that fulfilled the purposes in God that did not have to do away with the outward man. So when I say do away with the outward man, that is do away with their own what? Let's be mentioning there. Their own feelings, isn't it? Or their own desires. Or their own will, isn't it? Their own thought process or mind process. All those things had to be silent so that the life of God can what? Flow through that person without hindrance. All to the glory of God and for the benefit, the greatest and highest benefit of the vessel. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yes,
you are. Okay. So when I go back to this, you see here it says, remember, it says he gives power to the weak, right? He actually wants to help. He actually wants to make each person fulfill their destiny, the that which he put in that person. He actually wants that person to reach their highest, he wants to help that person so that they can come to their highest point. So he gives power to the weak. He gives to them who have no might, he increases strength. But the youth shall faint. That is man in his own thought process, in his own will, in his own strength. They will fail, they will fall. But those who wait, those who are still, those who are quiet. There's a scripture I want to quickly read. Isaiah 30, verse 15, tells us this. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, but thus says the Lord your God, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. What did he say? In returning and rest, you shall be what? You shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be what? Your strength. Do you see that? Now this, again, I say this too from personal experience. A lot of time, God wants to do something, right? Through our vessels. But then fear comes in, isn't it? Be afraid.
Yeah.
That's an obstacle. Mm-hmm. That thing is coming, that agitation is coming from the outward man. A lot of times we want to do something and no, Lord, I don't. Because it doesn't make sense. We don't understand. So all that noise, all that agitation, is the soulish realm, is the outward man fighting. That's why when someone mentioned flesh, I said yes, it's in cahoot with the flesh because they are all fallen. So, but when, like we've talked about it many times, when a man gives his life to Christ, it is his spirit that is what born again. And then because God is spirit, God now dwells in his spirit, man. So that is where life will emanate from. And the spirit of man is the candlelight of God. And if God wants to light up our spirit, he wants to light up man. He lightens up the spirit of man. So if he wants to do something through man, it is through his spirit, his rejuvenated spirit, his transformed spirit. But what can be an obstacle is the outward man. So it is like, you know, let me use a perfume bottle as to illustrate what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The value of perfume, is it the bottle or the ointment inside?
The ointment
inside, right?
Yes.
So many times when we say no, it's like us admiring the bottle and refusing to release what is inside. Whereas God wants to release what is inside so that that smell can bring a fragrance. But it requires that bottle to be what? Broken. Just like the alabaster box. It was broken, right? And he says that the smell was everywhere, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So a lot of that requires the bottle to be broken. That bottle there represents the outward man. So that the fragrance that is within can flow out, can emanate. And I have here... Okay, so before I go, let me still touch on this scripture. It says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In returning here is because, again, I've also realized that all it takes, right, for us to be able to be still, to wait on God, is for us to abide in Christ, to remain. Whenever we can't do something that God wants us to do, it's because we have stepped out of abiding. We've moved out. We've moved far. even, okay, let me leave that. We've moved far. Because it is only in God that we're able to fulfill the purposes of God, not outside of God, not away from God. It's only by what? The grace of God. And yes, a lot of times, right, when the will of God comes, when God wants to do something, yes, there'll be agitation in our soul, there'll be agitation in our outward man. But then we have to receive grace to be quiet, to be still. It is when we are still, that is when God is able to now walk through us. So I'll use an example. Remember when Jesus was about to go to the cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Gethsemane. Now, at that point in time, because Jesus saw what he was about to go through, apart from what he was about to go through, just that he understood that that whole process will also make him be separate from the Father for that time. So, with all of that, and with all of the burden, all of the weight, he said there that his soul is exceedingly sorrowful. That's what he said, even to the point of death. That's what he was feeling, right? And then he went to pray. What did he say? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, right? So that was an agitation, isn't it? Hello? That was an agitation, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. But what was about to happen, right, was for the highest good of Christ and for humanity, isn't it? Was for the highest good of Christ that he be glorified and that we come into salvation. Just imagine if Jesus did not go through that. You and I would not be here. So, at that point in time, there was agitation. He prayed the first time, but he said what? Nevertheless, not what? Not my will, but thy will be done. He prayed the first time, he prayed the second time, he prayed the third time. When he realized, okay, I have to drink this cup that my Father has given me to drink. Do you know that when he did that, when he now did that, he was now what? Still. That's when the strength and the grace to go through that which was needed to go through for him to enter glory. That's when it came. That's when it came. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yes, because even going forward, you now realize that even though he went through so much pain and agony, he was what? He was very calm. They beat him. They tried to make him say, he did not say anything. He did not open his mouth. That's not human. That is superhuman, isn't it? That's not natural. That's not natural at all. So if you read this scripture again, it says, in quietness and confidence shall be what? Your strength. Confidence there means trust. Because to be still, to wait, to be still, it also means that you trust God. Because sometimes, again, when the purposes of God when God wants to do something in us or through us, you know, there's that agitation. That agitation, a lot of times, is as a result of distrust, because we don't trust God. And we don't trust God because we have not come to fully know God. That's why, again, he said, my reward is with me and my work is before me. So you see him declaring his works so that it's to help us believe. It's to help us believe so that we can be what? Be still and know that he is God. So you can trust him to know that ultimately his thoughts for me are thoughts of what? Good and not of evil. To give me hope and what? An expected end. Yes. Like I said, the breaking of the outward man is for the high, so that the spirit can be released, is for the highest profit. Is for our highest profit. There is nobody that entered into destiny or entered into purpose or entered into glory that the outward man did not have to give way. Because the outward man is an obstacle. It's a hindrance. So you've realized that even in your life, right, God will always plunge you into situations that will break, that will be breaking the outward man. If you don't know this, you find out that the person keeps repeating, you know, that class. Let me use the word class. When you come to understand, for example, you always find yourself, right, in a situation where someone's always offending you, right? Or you're getting upset every time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. If we don't realize that, first of all, God is in control.
Mm-hmm.
Even the situations that, is orchestrated, if God allows it, right? There's mm-hmm. nothing that is wasted in God. If we don't understand this, we'll always look that the problem is the other person. You realize that another person will do it, right? It comes back to mm-hmm. the same outcome. That you understand. I'm using the example of being upset or offended as an example. Now, if I do not understand that there's something God is trying to deal with in me, right? I'll always, you know, point finger to the other person. Sometimes it's even the other person is even at fault. You didn't do anything. But you see, we are. In this illustration, we are responsible for our response. We're not responsible for what the other person did, right? But we're responsible for how we respond to it. Maybe God is trying to deal with something. There's something he's trying to break so that you won't react. Because, again, Satan, we also have an enemy. And he will exploit every agitation. He seeks to exploit every agitation. And if you realize the further you grow in God, and you engage in warfare, right? Spiritual combat or spiritual battle. It requires you to be still. It requires you to be still. To be still there, like I said, it requires you to be silent. It requires you to never act in the flesh. Does that make sense? Or for there to be agitation. I don't know if I'm making sense. Because yes, the outward man, is always wants to respond. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did something, there's something in you that is, you know, pinching you. No, don't take this nonsense from this person. You can't, who does she think she is? Or who, you know? Yes. Or somebody did something, you know, our emotions are, or something, our desires are all over the place. All these things are agitations. And all these things hinder. So God always seeks to bring us to a point for the help of God to come complete. For the help of God to come, we have to come to the point of becoming what? Still. So that we can receive true strength. And the power and grace to wait on God, I've also realized that the power and grace to wait on God is also given when we wait on God. It's in the process of waiting. If we decide, okay, I want to be still, Lord, help me, grace will come. And whenever we wait on God, again, when we read that scripture, when we go back to that Isaiah 40, you see where it says, like where it says, oh, God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints or is weary. And these are the same features that are said to be possessed by those who what? Wait upon the Lord. Isn't it? It says those that wait upon the Lord, they shall what? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be what? Weary. And they shall walk and not what? Faint. So what happens is that an exchange, there is an exchange that happens when we are still. It's an exchange that happens when we wait. So for this exchange of strength to happen, the outward man has to give way. The outward man has to, like I said, I wrote here, the outward man means our thoughts, like I said, our will, our desires, our strength, our own wisdom, our own intellect. Again, the scripture comes to mind, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own what? Understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will what? Make your path straight. So our own strength, our own wisdom, our own emotions, our own desires, our own wants, and just we. They all have to be broken. They all have to give way. That is the soul. So that true life and true strength can emanate and flow out of God through our spirit to our vessels. So that the life of God can find expression through our vessels. Our outward man is always in the way. Because the ability and strength that is able to mount, that is needed to be able to mount up with wings as eagles, these are supernatural things. To be able to run and not be weary. Is it possible to run and you not be weary? Normally, no. To walk and not faint, all of these is not from us, but it is from the life of God in us. So we have to become still, all our faculties, all our emotions, everything. Like that scripture in Isaiah 30 says, in quietness and in confidence shall what? Shall be your strength. So this now takes me to Isaiah. Now see what it says in Isaiah 41. Can we see the first few verses? What does it say? Can we see it?
Yes.
What does it say? It says what? Keep silence. Right? Before me, O coastlands, and let the people what? Renew their strength. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Let them come near. Let them speak. Let them come near together for judgment. Who has raised up one from the east, who in righteousness called him to feed? So they are talking about, do we know the figure of Cyrus in scripture? Everyone knows Cyrus? Does everyone know Cyrus?
No.
Okay, Cyrus was a man that was not among the Jewish people, right? But God raised him. He was a Gentile, so God raised him for his mighty work. Let me show you. God spoke of him in Isaiah 45. Can we see it? So it says, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. So Cyrus was the man that God raised when the captivity of Israel was over in Babylon. So God raised him to help them to rebuild. So God raised him to, he overran Babylon, took it over, and then it was under his reign that was the period where their captivity was over. So God used him to provide all the things that were needed to rebuild Israel after captivity. So God called him, he was God's instrument. God empowered him very well, even though if you read on, it says, even though he does not know me, but I have chosen him. Do you understand? Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Did you get that? I mean, I can't go so much into it, but that's just the summary of who Cyrus is. Maybe after this, you can do more research on who he was. But it was a Gentile, that it was someone that a great warrior, great king that God raised and used him for the purpose of, for God's purpose concerning his people. So that's who he was talking about from verse 2 to verse 3 of this Isaiah 41. It says, who raised up one from the east, who in righteousness called him to his feet, who gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings, who gave them as the dust to his sword, as driven stubble to his bow, who pursued them and passed safely by the way that he had not gone with his feet, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, I am the first, and with the last I am he. Again, God, after saying, be silent before me, so that the people can renew their strength. Again, he's trying to also declare his works, that he's the one that is able to raise a man that does not even know him, a man that's not even among the quote-unquote, the people of God and the Jewish people, and empower him to be a great conqueror. Do we understand? That he's able to do that. So if he's able to do that, if you read on, if he's able to do that, is it you? Is it his people that he will not help? Does that make sense? Hello?
Yeah, Leo.
Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, because there was no response. Okay. So, did you get what I was trying to say before? That if he's the one that is able to raise a man who is not even among the quote unquote the people of God, and empower him to do mighty work, to do God's mighty work, or for God's purpose, is it now his people that he will not help? Did we get that?
Yes.
Okay, so from verse 4, like he was saying, who has performed this again, declaring his works. The coastland saw it from verse 5, because of time, from verse 5 to verse 7. Here he's now again talking about idols. He said the coastlands, they saw it and they feared, and everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So they were, those who were outside of God were encouraging themselves in their idols. Say, don't worry, it's going to be okay outside of God. So when he says in verse 7, so the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying it is ready for the soldering, that he fastened it with pegs, that it might not totter, that is, it might not fall apart. Again, the futility of idols. But it now says, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his father's regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. He says what? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So this is where he begins to now say the things that he will do concerning his people. But up until this point, let me ask, up until this point, everything I've said, is it clear? Like I said, the help, when God wants to help us, a lot of times we are the greatest obstacle.
Obstacle, yes.
Yes, we are the greatest obstacle. God wants to do a mighty thing, you know, in a man's life, but he's so afraid, or he doesn't want to let go of, do you understand? Doesn't want to let go of those things that are hindering him from entering into that greatness, into that destiny, into that glory, into that purpose. Some things have to, you know, it says, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, right? It abides alone. You know, when you plant a seed, isn't it? When you plant a seed, say, for example, maybe beans or whatever, you realize that it's that one seed that a tree emanates from, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That means there's life. When it was just a seed, before it was put in the earth, before it was thrown into the ground and buried, that means there was life in it. But that life, what was blocking it? The outer shell, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The outer covering, yes. And in order for that life to come out, that seed has to be what? It has to be buried. It has to go into the ground. And in that heat, right, the outer shell begins to prick, begins to give way, and then life begins to grow out of that seed. Life within begins to grow. And then it sprouts up, it springs up from the earth, and then it begins to grow, and it grows till it becomes a tree, and what? Bears fruit, and many seeds can come from that tree, isn't it? But all this would have not been possible if the outer shell was not broken. And that's what God seeks to do for each and every one of his people. But we have to be still. And to be still is to wait on him. To be still is to rest in him, is to abide in him. To be still is to understand that I myself, in my own strength, or in my own intellect, or in my own ways, in my own thought process, cannot fulfill the purposes of God. Only the word of the Lord in me, only the spirit that is within that is the Spirit of Christ that is able to fulfill only by the grace of God. That is the Spirit supplies of God. Grace, am I able to? Or are we able to? But first of all, we have to be still. We have to be still is to trust. I have to trust that even though I don't understand, or even though this, I know that his thoughts for me are thoughts of good and not of evil. So I don't know. I know God is speaking to each and every one of us. Sometimes you'll be amazed at the life that is within, that God has deposited in each person. But the outward man will keep agitating, will keep making noise, will keep being in the way. But he has to give way, he has to be broken so that true life can come forth. So that help can truly come. So sometimes, a lot of times, not even sometimes, a lot of times, God will plunge us into situations. Situations that will break the outward man. Situations that will ease our emotions, he will tame it. So that we will not be led by emotions. Is it our desires? He will tame it so that we don't run wild or be led by our desires. Is it our will? Well, at the end of the day, when it comes to will, even though God might greatly, I like to use the phrase, greatly influence somebody to a point, to a direction, we still have a choice. But he will do so much to help us understand that, look, there's a lot in store. Just trust me. Just trust me. Look to me. He will plunge us in situations where the help of man cannot suffice. It will be useless. And at that point, we can only look up to the hills from when comes our help. Help can only come from upward at that point in time. But we have to be still so that we can know that he is God. And then we'll be amazed, we'll be truly amazed at what God can actually do through you. Do in you and do through you, or do through each and every one of us. So, honestly, that's the heart of my message this evening. The rest of the scripture, like I said, is to read it as a prayer. We'll read it as a prayer, but let me pause at this junction. I don't know if anyone has something they want to say, or question, or something they want to share, please. Anyone? The Lord ministered something to you, something that came to mind, please don't hesitate to share with the rest of us. Anyone want to say something?
Nothing from me.
Okay. Anyone else?
Nothing from me.
Okay.
Same here.
I couldn't have said everything. No. So I'm not saying nothing from me. Okay. But yeah, that is, I think that is the, that's the heart, that's the message. God wants to help. God always wants to help us. But we have to allow him to help us. I've been there many times. God wants to actually do something, and you know, again, the outward man springs up, you know, and there's so much agitation, there's so much unrest, and then everything just has to be quiet and be still. You know what? I will trust God. Of course, not in my own strength. You cry out to God and say, God, help me. Help me. And like I said, one of the tools that, you know, the enemy want to use, the outward man, one of the tools he uses is fear. Fear. But like we'll read, let me share the scripture so that we'll just pray it. So just pray it. Verse 10, it says, fear not. Fear not. For what? I am with you. So let's just read it and as a prayer from verse 10, who can unmute, from verse 10 to from verse 10 to 20. Are we ready? We can see my screen. Okay. So it says what? Let's go. Fear not.
Fear not.
For I am with you.
Be not dismayed.
For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who were against you shall be ashamed and disgraced, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing. As a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. Saying to you, fear not.
I will help you.
Fear not. You warm Jacob. You men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. And your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge.
With sharp teeth.
You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small. And make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them.
You shall rejoice in the Lord,
glory in the Holy One of Israel.
The
poor and needy seek water.
And needy seek water.
For there is none. Their tongues fail for curse. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open the rivers and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness full of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the metal and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, yeah. Take homes. God always wants to help us, but we have to put aside our outward man. And putting aside the outward man again, it's not by our own strength. It starts with trusting God and say, God, you know, I don't understand. I may not understand, but I trust you. Please help me. You know, help me. And just asking him to quiet every, you know, just even as I'm speaking, if there are things that, you know, ways that our soul, the outward man has been agitating based on something in our lives, you know, just talk to him now and just say, Lord, help me to be still. Help me to trust you. Help me to be quiet. Help me to wait truly on you. Help me to rest in you. Help me to abide in you. Help me to always remember to know that your thoughts for me are thoughts of good. It's not about me. It's about you, the glory of God. But always remembering that it is in God's glory that we glory. And it is in his glory that we have the highest profit. So just ask him, Lord, help me in that area. Whatever it is, just talk to him now. Lord Jesus, help me to be still. Quiet every noise within me. Every noise that my soul is making. David said, unto you I lift up my soul. Lord, I lift up my soul to you, my mind, my thought process, that thing that my mind is telling me, hey, if I allow God to take over this situation, it will go this way. No. Just ask him, Lord, give me rest. Let me rest in you. Because it's in quietness and in confidence shall be our strength. Say, Lord, I return to you. Help me to hide me in you. Quiet my soul, my emotions. Quiet my thought process. Help me to submit my will to yours. Give me grace. Let my desires be tamed. Be quiet. Let my thought process be quiet. Let everything be still so that you can show yourself as God in my life and through my life. So that the fragrance of Christ, the fragrance of God can emanate, can ooze out of, can exude from our vessels. It is that fragrance that when it springs, is when it goes forth, that it says that, you know, Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. It is because the ointment in my bottle, in my vessel, has been released. Help me, Lord, that even when you begin to break the outward man, that I do not complain. I do not run away from the process, knowing that the process is what will bring me into that which I'm even praying for, into that which I truly, truly, that my spirit desires, that place that we know that God wants us to be, that height, that place. This is the pathway. This is the way. The breaking of the outward man. Lord Jesus, give me strength. Give me grace. That I will go through it in your peace, in your joy, in your strength, in quietness, in rest, in silence, in peace. Every agitation in my soul, be silent in the name of Jesus. Every movement contrary to the movement of God, contrary to the direction that God is leading, in the name of Jesus, we command you to align. Be still and align to the movement and to the will of God in the name of Jesus. The things that I need to let go of, I let go of them. The grace to let go of those things. And the grace to hold on to Christ Jesus, to hold on to his word, to hold on to him and to abide in him. Because when we abide in him, once we just find that place of rest, you see, find out that once we come into that place of rest, it is the Lord that will do it. It is him that will do it, but through our vessels. Oh, find rest in the Lord, oh my soul. Find rest in the Lord, oh my soul. For his thoughts for you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give me hope and an expected end. Have your way, Lord Jesus. This we ask of you, God. Thank you, Almighty God. Lord, we just pray, we just say thank you for your word that we have received this evening. Thank you, Jesus, for the light you have shone in our hearts. We ask, O God, that this word shall not depart from us, but this word shall be planted at the very core of our spirit. Yes, very core of our soul, of our spirit. And we shall go forth to bear fruit unto you in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Even those who are not here, we ask that you help each person in the name of Jesus to be strong in you and in the power, in the strength of your might, to abide in you, to rest in you. Yes, for he who has found rest in God has ceased from their own works, and they have put their trust in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone that is weak, renew their strength. As they wait on you, renew their strength. That we will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. And that as you break the outward man, we receive help from you, O God. We receive help from you, O God. For we understand that the help of chariots, the help of horses, the help of man is, they are all useless. The help of princes, they are all useless. Only the help of God shall suffice. And we receive your help, Lord. We receive your help, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And anytime we find ourselves, because sometimes those agitations will come again. Once they come again, tell it, oh my soul, be silent before the Lord. For the Lord knows what he is doing. Be silent and trust in the Lord. For in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Thank you, O God, our Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.